We are pleased to bring you the Jazz on Film feature this morning with Matthew Goldwasser, who's been working with our music department for a while and wanted to go deeper into jazz on film. Matthew, you found one that really is quite interesting. It's a documentary this time. It's called Miles Electric, A Different Kind of Blue, directed by Murray Lerner. How in the world did you find this?
Well, I think it's interesting because as a young guy, I was at that festival.
No, really? 1970, Isle of Wight. There's footage on this DVD.
I was a teenager at that festival, sitting on the hillside that afternoon when Miles took the stage.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, end of interview. We just want to talk about the Isle of Wight. No, let's tell us about the how do you start with Miles Davis, I guess. How did he get to this point with making such a huge departure from his much-loved, acoustic to the electric scene?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the 60s, Miles was the coolest guy on the planet. You know, those sharp Italian Brooks Brothers suits, cruising around Manhattan in his yellow Ferrari, yeah. Beautiful women on his arm. And his style and his theme song embodied that sort of cool indifference that to the straight world that jazz fans and musicians really admired and tried to emulate, and summed up in the simple words, so what?
Yeah, that was kind of his attitude there, what a trademark. Then the transition came, because
right.
He just was wired for that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, from ages 19 to 40, he was instrumental in creating all of these new vocabularies in music, from bop to hard bop, from cool to modal. And when the 60s rolled around, the late 60s, Miles was paying attention to everything that was happening and drawing from the most popular music of the day, from Cannonball Adderley and Tony Williams' Lifetime, but also from Jimi Hendrix and James Brown and Sly and the Family Stone.
So out came the album Bitches Brew, and similarly to Bob Dylan's transition from folk to electric, this really upset the jazz world.
Absolutely. Yeah, Miles changed everything at that time in 69. I mean, he changed his style, he changed his wardrobe, he changed his sound. It was a fresh and original concept. It blended jazz with rock electronics, with funky vamps and African grooves into a new song structure and a new style that included a radical editing process that had never been done before, making the editing room as much a part of the creative development of the tunes as laying down the tracks. No one had ever attempted this kind of music before, and there was a backlash.
Well, this documentary, Miles Electric, A Different Kind of Blue, documents his performance at the Isle of Wight. He was on the board on the billboard with, you said, Jimi Hendrix, Joni Mitchell, who is featured in this documentary as well.
Sly and the Family Stone, The Doors, The Who. Believe it or not, Miles followed the British musician, I hesitate to call him musician, Tiny Tim.
So on the lineup, it's Tiny Tim?
And then Miles Davis.
The Isle of Wight, 1970. The entire concert is on this DVD.
It is, and it's the first time that, it came out in 2004, almost 35 years after the fact, and the musicians, no one had seen it, including the musicians who'd played. And the band at that time for Miles included Chick Corea and Keith Jarrett on keyboards, Dave Holland on bass, Jack DeJohnette on drums, Ayerto on percussion, and Gary Bartz on reeds.
All right, let's go to the clip from one of the players. Was Bob Belden a player?
Belden is a producer and in charge of all of the Miles reissues. So he knows the Miles catalog as well as anybody.
A clip from the documentary Miles Electric.
Now, can you imagine being Miles Davis? You've been struggling your whole life. You know, you got money, but you got high expectations. You've been with Charlie Parker, Coltrane, Cannonball, Wayne Shorter, Herbie, Ron, Tony. And then you put out this record, which is essentially a jam session, and it becomes the top-selling jazz record of all time at the time. And then on top of that, you could do the Fillmores, and you're on the Newsweek magazine. And then within the space of 7 months, from March, April, May, June, July, August, 6 months, he played the Isle of Wight. Half a million people minimum, playing opposite Hendrix and all those pop acts at the time who were on the scene at that moment for Miles Davis, that's as high as any jazz musician ever got in this world, a guy playing that kind of music. I mean, that was the mountaintop.
The mountaintop. Doing that electric jazz thing, man. A lot of extras on this DVD as well.
Yeah, it's well worth staying through the extra footage. There are loads of Miles alum talking about their experiences with him and all of the musicians expressing their enormous regard and respect for what they learned from him. And lots of them imitating that fantastic, one-of-a-kind, raspy voice.
Everybody did their Miles Davis impression, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
We're talking about Miles Electric, and it includes the entire Miles Davis concert at the 1970 Isle of Wight concert. You got a sample of some electronic Miles music just to give us our ears a chance to feel what it was like back then.
Yeah, we're going to close out here with an excerpt from Spanish Key. Check out the really funky Gary Bartz saxophone on this.
So sketches of Spain and kind of blue were left way in the background, and Miles just kept marching forward.
Yeah, his direction was not for the faint of hearted, but those who stuck with it were richly rewarded.
Matthew Goldwasser, our Jazz on Film feature. This will be posted as well as his other comments on KUVO.org.
Steve, that's quite a contrast for the Isle of Wight that Paul McCartney sings about in When I'm 64, a place that he wants to retire to.